May your Holy Spirit work in our midst. I know, Lord, as I prepared the message, you spoke to my heart. And Lord, if there be someone here tonight who does not know you as Savior, that today would be that day of salvation for that individual. And God, we just ask you to bless. We came to hear from you. And not my thoughts, Lord, but I want your thoughts portrayed today. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray for Pastor James, that you'd be with him as he's traveling and moving around and going different places. Pray in a special way, too, for Pastor Unger tonight, that you'd help him to feel better and to help to heal him as well. We love you, Lord, and we just ask you to work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight you're probably going to learn something about me that you might have suspected but never really knew before. So I'm going to share that with you here in a minute. If you want a title for this message, it's The Attitude of Gratitude. That's the title that we'll work with. So if you'll turn in the Bible, your Bible, to Galatians chapter 5. I like all these ribbons and stuff. They help me to find things a little quicker. So I want to show you a little bit tonight of just who I was. And I'll explain that a little later. In verse 19 of chapter 5, we'll read here a few verses. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What a list we have here. I don't need to have any extra proof that the Bible is written by God. But I can tell you right now, those verses we just read, I don't believe man would write that about himself. I don't think we would do that. I don't think we would tell ourselves that that's what we're like. But that's what God says we're like. Now, I've worked some of these works of the flesh out a little bit, and we're just going to go through them, and then we'll talk a little bit more about something that in the end works out. It gives us an attitude of gratitude. So the first thing we come across here is adultery. Now, I'm just giving you definitions I've pulled out of Unger's Bible Dictionary, different areas, the Encyclopedia, Bible Encyclopedia of Brother Clouds, and some just my own thoughts. But adultery is the willful violation of the marriage contract by either of the parties through sexual intercourse with a third party. The divine provision was that the husband and wife should become one flesh, each being held sacred to the other. Fornication, that's the next on the list. Illicit sexual intercourse in general. Outside, inside, doesn't matter whether you're married or not. Uncleanness. It could be a moral uncleanness, which is you just think immoral thoughts. Or it could be a dietary uncleanness, because we're talking back in the days of the Jewish nation here. Lasciviousness. I hope I said that right. That which excites disgust, unbridled lust, wantonness, idolatry. In a general sense, idolatry is the paying of divine honors to any created thing. Witchcraft, the term as commonly employed, includes one who practices in the whole field of divinatory occultism. The occult. Hatred. The idea of ugliness. Deformity. Hence to regard with feelings contrary to love, to abhor, to loathe, to cherish, dislike, to cherish dislike too. Abhor and loathe, hatred. Variance, difference that produces dispute or controversy to annihilate, dissension, disagreement, contention, strife, discord, arguing. We always used to joke how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, a needle. Well, I think that would fall in that area, just for the sake of quarreling, just for the sake of discord, just to show ourselves that we think we're smarter than we really are. Emulations is jealousy working in an unfavorable, self-serving sense. Resentment towards others that have or are what we want. You know, we need to be careful that we don't covet too many things. I like Paul Cross's Mustang, and there's nothing wrong with him having a Mustang. But I don't want that one. I want one just like it because I don't want to be caught coveting. No, I'm just joking there. Wrath. Wrath is a general opinion. It is the general opinion of scholars that, and here I have to apologize for my own writing because I'm not sure if I got the right word spelt right, but thumos and org are found several times together. And I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, so if I've said those wrong, I apologize. Correct me later, and I'll tell you you're probably right. They're found several times together in the New Testament. The general opinion of these scholars is that thumos is the more turbulent commotion, the boiling agitation of the feelings, either presently to subside and disappear, or else to settle down into org, wherein it is more of an abiding and settled habit of mind, with the purpose of revenge. Strife. We're following our list here still. In Galatians Chapter 5. Strife is contention, quarreling, fighting. Pretty explanatory. Seditions. An uprising. A factitious commotion of the people. A tumult. An insurrection. Well, the perfect example there is Moses when he was up in the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. How the people behaved. Heresies. The term heretic and heresy refer to a willful choosing of false doctrine, a willful alignment with error. So we choose to think wrong. Envyings, to feel uneasiness, mortification or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. To repine at another's prosperity. To fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed superiority of another and hate him on that account. Envy springs from pride, ambition, or love. Mortified that another has obtained what one has a strong desire to possess, to be jealous, to grudge. And murders, to cause someone to die, to put to death, to kill someone. Exodus 20:13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." Drunkenness, the condition of being intoxicated with alcoholic beverages. Modern day psychology would have us believe that this condition, Mr. Kevin, is this being taped?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I'm going to say it anyhow, whether it was or it wasn't. The condition of being intoxicated with alcoholic beverage. Modern day psychology would have us believe this condition is a disease or a psychological problem. But you know, the Bible says it's a sin, Proverbs 23, verse 29 to 35. Drunkenness is a sin way back then. Revelings. Carousing, drunkenness, evil living. And I love this last three words here. And such like. Because that includes everything else. So, this was me. All these traits I gave you, I've had in my life. All these traits that I've given to you, I have participated in. And such like, which covers everything. I think some of you guys can identify with this too. But there's certainly no attitude of gratitude here, because that's what I was. The attitude of gratitude comes because of what I've become. And I basically started at the end of the message, and we'll actually end up going back to the first of it now. So I'm sure all of us can identify with some of these characteristics we've read out of here and talked about. There was a day in my life when the Lord Jesus spoke to me through His Holy Spirit, and I got saved. Jesus forgave my sins, washed my sins away, whiter than snow I was, because of what He did, because of His righteousness. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone in here fits into that condition. For there is none righteous, no, not one. But there was a time in my life when the Bible tells us in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Actually, let's just turn there. That's a pretty important one we want to look at. Romans 10. Not too far away. Well, let's start with verse 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that, March 18, 1976. I bowed my heart, my soul, in my dad's car. He led me to the Lord, and I'm saved. I have the attitude of gratitude for what Jesus did for me, for what He did on the cross. So we need to have that attitude of gratitude. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse So what I read to you at the beginning is great resume for an unsaved person, isn't it? Could you imagine going to work one day and all those things I'd written down there and the definitions and give that to your boss and say, hey, can you hire me now? This is my resume. Yeah, I don't think so. Hit the door, buddy. Hit the door. Romans chapter 8. Luke, could you read that for me, please? Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and verse 2, and verse 3, and verse 4, if you would, please.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Thank you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My attitude of gratitude is I can throw that list away. I don't have to look back at it. I just have to remember what Jesus did for me. For the law of the Spirit of life, in verse 2, in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The attitude of gratitude, because of what Christ did for me, and he freed me. The attitude of gratitude. So we're going to kind of flip back from Romans chapter 8, and we're going to flip back to Galatians. Back to Galatians chapter 5. And remember, how did it say? Romans 8, 1-4. The Spirit gives victory over sin. The new law of the Spirit delivers us. The new law of the Spirit makes righteousness the struggle of the natures under the law. Romans 8, 5, and 6. We'll just read that real quick. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I traded in that old Ron Person. When I got saved, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. His blood paid for my sin. And what does it say there? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and carnally minded is death. So the first thing we want to see here in Galatians chapter 16. For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We can have victory over sin if we walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The second thing we want to do is be led of the Spirit. Philippians 2:5 says, let the mind of Christ be in you. Focus not on the things of this world, but on the things above. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2 is, we should control our minds to think of things above. Think of the spiritual things. Think of the blessings, what God saved you from and brought you to. Saved you from your sins through Jesus Christ, through His blood, and brought you to. Think with an attitude of gratitude. And the third thing we see here in verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's the third thing we need to do, is we need to learn to live in the Spirit. Forget that old stuff, that old resume. It's no good. Nobody's going to want it. Nobody wants to hire anybody that has those qualities. But we think on those things above. Now, I don't really know what heaven's going to be like, but I know what I've heard, and I'm glad I'm going there, not that other place. And it's not by any of my righteousness, that's for sure, but through the righteousness of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. So set your affections on things above. Now, we don't want to just stop there, because it's only a half an hour filled. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go back to verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. There's a few things here that I don't know. There's not as many on this list as there was on that list of the works of the flesh, but they sure sound a whole lot better. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Just imagine. And I can almost imagine this, that Mr. Trudeau, before he resigned as Prime Minister, would come up with a law that says, now, it's going to be against the law to love somebody. Well, wait a minute, it says there's no law against that. There's no law against love. There's no law against joy. No law against peace. No law against long-suffering. How many times are we supposed to give according to the Scriptures? Anybody want to guess? As many times as it takes. Jesus gave the formula 70 times 7. That's 490, but I think he really meant as many times as it takes. Because there's nothing that we have done that he can't forgive through his shed blood. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. That meekness is a hard one, I find. I find hard to be meek and lowly, putting others first. Goodness. Man, what an attitude of gratitude I have for the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we're going to be done a little earlier tonight, but we're not quite done yet. How's your attitude tonight? Do you have an attitude of gratitude for what God's done for you? Or you say, well, Brother Persson, you really don't understand things. You've got it good. You've got a good family, and everything's rolling well for you. And you're right. And I'm grateful to God for that. And that's part of my gratitude. But the key is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're going to be on your way to heaven? If Jesus were to come back today and we were caught up, would you go? You know the answer to that. I don't. I can only point you to the Savior. So let's show a little bit more of this fruit of the Spirit. I used to like to say, and I don't know, maybe it was in that other list, something I read there earlier, but I used to like to say, you know, I don't like to judge people. I really don't like to judge people. But verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, so I can see what people are like by their fruit. I can look at you and see what you're like by your fruit. So I'm not going to judge you here tonight. I'm just going to be a fruit inspector. How good is your fruit? One thing I like about getting a bag of fresh apples is the crispiness. And you get pull an apple out and you wash it off and you eat it. And then a day or two later, you reach in the bag and a couple of fingers have gone into the mushy part of the apple because the fruit's going bad. It's in the same bag that I looked at that I bought just recently that had good-looking fruit in it. And from what I saw, I judged the whole bag and took it. The fruit of Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. I don't know if you're here tonight and you feel as a Christian that you might be a little bit defeated because some of that stuff I read on that list about myself. You may be guilty of some of that. But remember, Jesus Christ paid for that. That's under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So let's have an attitude of gratitude to the Lord and to God for all He's done for us. And be ever mindful to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, and to live in the Spirit. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, tonight we're thankful for your word. It was a short message. But we'll have some more prayer time. Help challenge us, our hearts, to have an attitude of gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Help us to look at the people on the street and see them in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Some people just aren't that nice to look at. And I'm not discluding myself from that. But God, you love them so much. You sent your Son to die for their sins. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can accept the gift. To be someone here tonight would just say, Lord, help me to have that attitude of gratitude. Help me to be more thankful those that are here and are saved. Was there a time in your life when you were more on fire for the Lord? Was there a time in your life when you couldn't wait to tell other people what Jesus has done for you? I know I've fallen in that area of forgetting, not caring. Lord, we just ask you to help us tonight. If there be anyone here who would like to come forward, pray. Now is the time to do it. We've got some time. If not, we'll just have a moment's silence, and then we'll take our prayer requests. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. We just ask you'd speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name.